In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, how often do you consider just how much you've received? After a pausing moment to reflect on this question, a good follow-up would be, how often do I give God thanks for all the gifts he has given me? Is my faith as strong as it should be in light of all the reasons he has given me to believe in his divine providence? In doing so, we may realize that we sometimes resemble the Jews of old, those who preceded his incarnation, those who were his contemporaries during his earthly life, and who, many of whom, distrusted him. Among other vices, the Pharisees, who opposed our Lord, most of them were steeped in presumption. Presumption of their own righteousness because of their works, because of their nationality, and the fact of the covenant which God had made with their people. Hopefully, someday we will more closely resemble the good centurion in today's gospel, who, despite being a pagan, was possessed of a faith which our Lord declared greater than any he had found in Israel and in his own nation. Generally speaking, the Roman soldiers serving in this part of the world in this period of history did not have favorable attitudes towards the Jews. They tended to look upon them as a bunch of rustics who suffered from such religious poverty that they only had one god, not the splendid Roman pantheon with so many gods to worship. And yet this man, ignoring the prejudices of his own people, let his heart be open to the grace of God. He had seen Christ accomplish miracles of healing which could only have been effected by divine power. And guided by grace, he let this evidence take his reason to its logical conclusion, to a beginning of faith. We cannot know with exactitude how explicit was his faith in Christ, whether he would have been able to say that he was the Son of God, we know not. But it seems in any event that he recognized our Lord as a true prophet, one who acted in obedience to and by the power of the true God, and he humbly put his trust in him. Not only did he put his trust in Christ, note also the great goodness in his tender concern for his suffering servant. His affirmation that the servant was grievously afflicted reveals his love for him and his heartfelt anxiety over his suffering. How many of us could say that we have the same concern for our employees, for those who are subject to our charge? By the standards of the ancient world, truly, this was an extraordinary level of concern. The example of this pagan soldier of old contains a very important lesson for us. This: if we want to steer clear of the vice of presumption upon God's graces, and above all the presumption of our eternal salvation, we must always cultivate a great gratitude in our hearts for all that he has done for us and all that he continues to do for us. Moreover, our gratitude should have a very concrete effect in our life, our spiritual life. First of all, by helping us to make always a more and more worthy confession of our sins. Again, it's not a question of being scrupulous. On the contrary, let us banish scrupulosity. It's not a question of making never-ending examinations of conscience, long and drawn-out confessions filled with anxiety. No. Rather, before making our confession, let us stir up a sincere pain in our hearts for having offended our Heavenly Father and the firm intention not to fall back into our sins. After a certain lapse of time, there can be reason to doubt if these two conditions are as strong in us as we would as they should be. It is thus advisable to ask God frequently for the grace to possess these qualities of the heart and to make acts of the will to confirm them in our souls. Let us never permit shame to get in the way of making a good confession, this form of human respect which ultimately prevents some from being as open with their confessor as is necessary. Saint Alphonsus Liguori teaches us that it will be just this failure and others which will be a source of torture forever to the lost souls after they have departed this life. Each of the reprobate will say, "If I had abstained from such a gratification, if in certain circumstances I overcame human respect, if I had avoided such an occasion of sin or such a companion, if in temptations I had recommended myself to God, I would not now be damned. I have so often proposed to do these things, but I have not done them. So now is the time to remember the need for humility, honesty, and simplicity before God, beginning in the healing tribunal of the sacrament of penance. Remember that the priest who hears your confession is a sinner as well, and thus the words of St. Paul, he can have compassion on them that are ignorant and that err, for he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And therefore he ought, so as for the people, to offer for himself, to offer for sins." So on this third Sunday after the Epiphany, may the words of this faithful centurion, so opposed to presumption and so exemplary that they have entered into the rubrics of the Holy Mass itself, be impressed deeply in our hearts. "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.